only have 10 pages of notes. This is my notes for today. Oh no, we got 45 minutes. Alright, Revelation chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 7. Let's all stand out of respect for God's word. It says, unto the church, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hath not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Behold, thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that you would guide and direct. Help me, I pray, that as I preach this message, that it would be the one that you'd have me to preach. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you so much for loving this church and continuing to bless us and guide us. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have two messages in my Bible. One I prepared for today, last week, and one that I came up with the other day, actually yesterday when I was reading my Bible. And this is the one I'm given. But I feel that we need to take a look a little bit at what we read. And if you take a look at the first part of verse 7, it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. What was going on here in 3 of the book of Revelation is that John was writing what Jesus was telling him to the seven churches. Now, there was only one church that, if you go down and read all seven churches, there was only one church that Jesus did not scold for what they were doing, and that was the church of Philadelphia. And I want to take a look at what he said to the church of Philadelphia and how that we as a church need to be like the church of Philadelphia. The title of my message this morning is An Open Door. And how many of you have ever seen the movie Facing the Giants? Okay, you remember the man that walked into the coach's office and he said, there is a door open unto you that no man can shut. He was quoting Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. And I want to look at that statement for just a minute. It says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can what? No man can shut it. Now, as I was looking at this, I thought, well, you know, let's take a look at doors. In the Bible, 263 times, door is mentioned. A lot of times, it's the door of the tabernacle or some other door. But in this case, it's a figurative door. And what Jesus is saying to the Church of Philadelphia is this: I have set before you a door which is open. Now, I got to thinking about that door, and that door could have been a lot of different things. But as I was thinking about that door, I thought of the door of opportunity. Now, I believe that what Jesus was saying to the Church of Philadelphia is this: I have set before you a door which is open. The door of opportunity. The door that you can use to go out and lead others to me. The door is open. And no man can what?
Shut it.
No man can shut that door. Who's the only one that can shut the door? God himself. He's the only one that can shut that door. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? We are in that age right now. We are in the age of opportunity, where we have the ability to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not going to be persecuted because of it. Oh, they may look at us funny. They may look at us kind of funny or different and things like that. But listen, we have the opportunity because the door is open. This last week we were at Christian Educators Conference in Phoenix, and Brother Ballinger was telling about some of the places that he had been in the last 2 years. He has been in almost every nation in the world. Every country in the world he has been in. He's been in Russia, he's been in China, he's been in Vietnam, he was in Cambodia, he was telling these nations, I'm going, wow, how could you get in there? He says, I want you to understand something. He says, our door of opportunity is open right now, and we have to use it while it's open. But someday, that door of opportunity is going to be shut. That door of opportunity is going to be gone. And we need to use the door of opportunity while we can. Another thing I thought of with that open door is the open door of salvation. You know, each of us have the same ability to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the ability to be soul winners. We have the ability to go out and share the gospel message. And the door is open for us to do that now. But someday that door will be shut. That's not my message. That was just the introduction, by the way. But you know, as I was going down through this, I thought to myself, why was it that Jesus was telling the Church of Philadelphia that they had an open door and nobody could shut it? You got your Bibles open, just leave them open to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to be looking at this in depth a little bit. But he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength. Jesus is telling them, hey, I gave you an open door. I gave you an open door to take and do with it what you need to do to further the cause of Christ. But I know you have little strength. What kind of strength was Jesus talking about? Physical strength? Oh, maybe. I don't think so, though. I believe that Jesus was saying you have very little political strength. After all, let's take a look at the Church of Philadelphia. The Church of Philadelphia is one of the first churches that came into existence after Pentecost. They were one of the first churches. They were persecuted by the government. Jesus is saying you have very little political clout. You're weak politically. I read an article the other day by, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Starts with an H. Anyway, I was reading this article, and he said back in the 1940s, that 60% of all of our political leaders were evangelicals, people out of churches. He says today, in our political arena, less than 5%. Less than 5% of people today have any political office to where they can have influence for the church. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, man, why is that? Why is it we have so few people in our churches who are politically involved? And I came to this conclusion, because we are weak. We're weak. We don't have good political grounding. We don't have the drive to be councilmen, to be senators, congressmen, governors, to be on the House of Representatives in the state. We don't have that kind of drive anymore in our churches, where people say, you know what, we need to have someone from our church sit on the city council. We need to have somebody in our church be in the state legislature. We need to have somebody from our church. We don't have that drive anymore. Why? Because we are of little strength. Just like the Church of Philadelphia was. It's not that they were physically weak. It's that they were politically weak. They didn't have anybody fighting for them in government. But you know, John goes on to say, and the Lord goes on to say, if you take a look at that, he says, for they have, thou hast little strength, and hast kept my what? Kept my what? Word. Thou hast kept my word. What is the word?
The Bible.
The Bible. Thou hast kept my word. Well, wait a minute, hold it. I mean, they didn't have the Bible, did they? They had the Old Testament. They had the Torah. That was it. The New Testament was starting to come in. The letters of Paul were starting to circulate. Paul and them were all still alive. There was no written Word of God yet. They had not canonized the New Testament. All there was that. What word was he talking about? You got it. That the Holy Spirit had told the church to teach. He says, you have kept my word. Have you ever wondered what the downfall is of Christianity today? Why is it our church houses are no longer as full as they used to be back in the 50s, in the 60s, in 40s, in 30s? Why is it? The rapture. Well, you're back here. You're in the tribulation now then. Why is it? I can tell you exactly why. And it's this that I hold in my hand up here is why we no longer have our church houses filled because of this.
talk in the word like you used to be?
No. There's too many different translations of the Bible. This last week I ran into a good friend of mine. I haven't seen him for a couple of years. But I ran into a good friend of mine at CEC. This guy is as fundamental as I am. Right down the road, I mean, he is just fundamental independent Baptist like you wouldn't believe. And I almost dropped over when I heard what he said to me. I did. He looked at me and he says, you know what the trouble with churches are today? Why we don't have full churches? I said, why is that? He says, because of the King James Bible. I said, what? He said, I knew you were going to have that reaction. I said, are you out of your mind? He said, well, he says, people feel it's too hard to read. And I said, so you're throwing it by the wayside, trying to find something that's going to replace the Word of God that was given to me with speaking people. You know, that really bothered me. It really did. It really sunk down deep. And I got to thinking about what he was saying. And you know what? That is exactly the truth. The reason our church houses are not filled anymore is because of the King James Bible. Do you know why? Because it's no longer used in the churches. It's no longer used in the churches. I've given this illustration many times of going out soul winning and going up to the door, knocking on the door and asking a woman if she had a Bible. And she said, yeah, and she came up with a pile of them. She had five different Bibles. I said, what are these? She goes, well, these are my Bibles. I said, what do you do with them? She said, I take them to church every Sunday. I said, you take all of them to church? She goes, yeah. I said, why? Because she says, I don't know what they're going to be reading out of, and I want to be able to follow it.
That's scary.
Listen, let me tell you something. If there was anything that Satan could do to bring disharmony into the church, it would be to get rid of the Bible. And that's what he's done. That's exactly what Satan has done. He has gotten religious leaders, I don't even call them preachers anymore, religious leaders to go away from the King James Bible and go into all these other translations which have errancies in them. And they're trying to say that they're okay. You know, one of the first ones that did that was a guy by the name Billy Graham. Billy Graham, back in the 1970s, decided that, you know what, the King James Bible is just hard, too hard for everybody to understand, so he went to the NIV. Then he went from the NIV, he went to the NESB or whatever it was. And he is just flip-flopping back and forth. But you know what? When Billy Graham quotes scripture, he quotes it from the King James Bible. He quotes it from the King James Bible. Do you know that there has never been a crusade from the Billy Graham group that has ever surpassed the Billy Graham crusade when he was using the King James Bible? None. What Jesus is telling the Church of Philadelphia here, he's saying, listen, you kept my word. You kept the word that I gave you to give out to the people. You didn't change it. There was a lot of churches back in the day of Philadelphia. What they were doing is they were taking some of their Jewish beliefs and they were putting that into their churches. They were taking some of the Baal worship, they were putting that in their churches. He says, you didn't do that. And for that, I'm giving you credit. You destroyed by the word. Listen, we need that in our churches today. We need preachers that will stand up and they up here and holler and shout and yell and scream and jump up and down and say, listen folks, we need to keep the word. If we don't, guess what? We're going to be just like the Church of Laodicea, Church of Sardis. You go in there and you read about them and read how Jesus chastised them. Listen, what we need to realize is we need to keep the word. Not only did they have little strength, but they kept his word. But then he goes on to say, in that same verse it says, and hath not denied what?
My name.
My name. You haven't denied who I am. The great I am. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first, I am the last, I am the only thing that anyone needs for eternal life. I am the one who died on the cross. You did not deny my name. I was talking to a guy at the CEC. He was one of the workers there at the motel. And I asked him, I said, do you go to church? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, he says, there's all a bunch of hypocrites in church. I said, that's why you should be there. He said, what? I said, yeah, it's a place for hypocrites. That's why you should be there. Because you are one. He looked at me really funny. I said, let me ask you something. I said, do you believe in God? He says, no, not really. I said, why not? He says, oh, how can you show me there's a God? I said, come here. We went outside. I said, see that in the sky there? He was, yeah. I said, that's the sun. I said, what keeps that big ball from burning out? He couldn't answer my question. I said, you see that bush there? Yeah? I said, what caused that bush to grow out of a single seed? He couldn't answer my question. He just stood there and looked at me dumbfounded. I said, now, I said, you tell me there's no God, but you can't explain to me how that sun doesn't go out. You can't explain to me how that bush grew out of a single seed, and yet you tell me there's no God. When Jesus is telling the Church of Philadelphia here, he said, listen, you didn't deny my name. You kept my name where it should be. You kept me high on your list. He says, you didn't deny me like so many others did. You know, I was talking to Brother Ballinger this last week. It broke my heart what we were talking about. He said to me, I said to him, I said, well, how are things going? He said, Brother Storm, he says, since the 1st of January, we've had 12 churches that had schools in that all closed in the state of Tennessee. That's just in the state of Tennessee. He said, nationwide, he says, I don't even want to think how many church houses are closing their doors. And people are no longer coming. Why? Because many of them denied the name of God. Yeah, they used the social gospel. They didn't use God's word. They didn't say, thus saith the Lord. They used somebody else's writings. I'll let you in on a secret, okay? I write my own sermons. Every Sunday morning when I come in here, you get something new every week. There's an awful lot of preachers today that on Saturday night will go on the internet and pull up the sermon of the day or the sermon of the week. And they pull it up and they print it off, and that's what they give to the people that Sunday morning. That's the new wave in preaching. Listen, the Holy Spirit's not in that. The Holy Spirit is not in that whatsoever. In fact, I was talking to a pastor this last week that was at the conference, and I said to him, I said, Rick Garcia, I said, what do you do for messages every Sunday? I said, you're a busy man. I said, what do you do? He said, well, I go on the internet. He said, do you know how many hundreds of thousands of messages that are printed or placed on the internet every week? He said, you just go and pick what you want and print it out. Listen, that's what's happening with the churches across the nation. Preachers are getting behind the pulpit unprepared to preach. And being unprepared to preach means the Holy Spirit is not going to be in their message. The Holy Spirit is not going to take and talk to you through me. And Jesus says, you've not denied my name. But you know, as I was going through this, I found some things very interesting that he said to the church of Philadelphia. Let's go down, let's jump down to verse 10. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He says, I'm going to keep you because you've been faithful, because you've preached the word of God, because you haven't denied me, I'm going to keep you from the tribulation that's going on. I'm going to keep you from the internet. I'm going to keep you from man's philosophy. I'm going to keep you going right down the road that I put you on in the beginning. Not only that, but he goes on to verse 11, he says, behold, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He says, you know what? He says, I want you to realize something. I'm going to come quickly. I'm going to come with a shout at the last trump. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come quickly, and I'm going to take you out, and nobody's going to know that you're even gone until you're gone. He says, hold fast, then no one takes your crown. He says, make sure that you continue to do the stuff that you've been taught to do. So you can't lose one of your crowns. Oh, you can have your salvation, but you can lose your rewards. You can lose your rewards. He says, hang on to your rewards. Hang on tight to what I've given you. Hang on tight to what you work for. Don't lose it in the end. If you do, you're going to come out victorious. Because he goes on to say this. Verse 11. In verse 12 he says, him that overcometh will I make a what? A pillar in the temple of my God. Whoa! You know, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the people in this church. And the people who are the pillars of this church. The people who do the work of this church. The people who keep the building up in this church. The people who keep their lights on. The people who keep the doors open. Those are the pillars of this church. Jesus says, I'm going to make you a pillar. In the what? Temple. Where's the temple? Temples in heaven. The temples in heaven. We won't see the new temple until after the tribulation, after the millennial reign, after the heaven and earth are fled away and the new heaven and new earth come down. We won't see that until then. However, if we go before then, guess what? We're going to be a pillar in that new temple. We're going to be one of them. They're going to hold that temple up. I got to think about, wow, what a joy that would be, wouldn't it? Think about it. You're going to be a temple in the new, or you're a pillar in the new temple, and who's going to be in that temple? God himself. I mean, you're going to be around God for all eternity because you're a pillar in his temple. Man, if that doesn't get exciting, nothing will. I tell you what I'm excited about. I am. As I'm going through this, I'm going, wow, glory, hallelujah. I'm going to be a pillar in the new temple. I'm going to be around God constantly. Day and night. Night and day. There ain't going to be any, but I'm going to be there. You know, I can hardly wait. Not only that, but hey, look what else he says. He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go, what? No more out. Wow. Think about it. We won't have to go out soul winning anymore. We won't have to go out trying to make a living. We won't have to go through that open door that no man can shut. We're going to be around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, what a glorious day that's going to be. You know, I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait to be a pillar of the new temple. I can hardly wait not to have to go in and out all the time. I can hardly wait to see what God is really, really all about. But you know what? He goes on to say some more things there. He says, I will write upon him the name of my God. In the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. Listen, he's going to give us the name of God. What do we know God as right now? What is God's name? What is God's name?
I am.
Huh?
I am.
I am. Andy. And he walks with me, Andy. Yeah. No. But listen. I am. Think of Moses. Moses is at the burning bush. Who should I say you are? I am that I am. One day, we're going to be in heaven, and there's going to be a new name written on us of God's name. Wow. Wow. There's a lot of names given to God. Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah, you know, a lot of them. And listen, one day, we're going to be given the name of God. Wow. But you know what? It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Look at the rest of that verse. It says, and I will write upon him my what?
My
new name. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With the white robe angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. That's exactly what it's talking about. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. If you can't get excited about Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, you can't be excited about anything. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited that this is going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. The stage is set, believe it or not, for the rapture to happen any day. We were talking about that this last Wednesday at CEC. And they said this. They said, if God tarries another 2 years, we will be very surprised. Everything is set, the stage is set for the rapture of the church. And they went in to say why. We've had more earthquakes this year than any other time recorded in history. The hurricanes are stronger and stronger now than any other time in history. The pestilence and the famines and things all over the world are greater now than in any other time in history. Listen, I'm looking forward to Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. That's why people say to me, well, why don't you change the way you preach? Why don't you change your music? Why don't you change your church? Why? The Bible says that we're not to do it. You know, as I was going through this, I got to thinking of the number of churches that have closed their doors since we opened this one. It's mind-boggling. I can think of 9 of them within a 40-mile area of here that started either at the same time we started this church or just after we started this church, whose doors are either shutting or have shut. Fundamental, independent, Baptist churches that have started in this area. Why? I can tell you why. Right here. Right here. 15 years ago, the auditorium was filled on a Saturday. They wanted me to change the way I sang songs. They wanted me to read the Bible slower. They wanted me to change translations of the Bible because the King James is too hard to understand. They wanted us to stop bringing kids in. They wanted us to close the school. They wanted us to close the Sunday school and just have one service a week. And I stood right behind this pulpit and I said, we're not changing. God made this church. I didn't. All I do is try to run this church the way God's called me to run it. This is your church. And I'm going to keep the train on the track. There's going to be people get on, and there's going to be people get off. My job is to keep this train running down the track. And I'm going to do everything in my power to keep the doors of this church open. Why? Because I may be of little strength, but I'm going to keep the word. And I'm not going to deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this message.